All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brendan Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
Oh, wow. Welcome to Life's a Banquet, everybody, the podcast that's edible, spreadable, and pourable with your hosts, Brett and Scott and
Zara Tangora.
And now, listen, we never really sing to you, but today is a new day, and we got a song for you. Go sing it, Zara, go.
To the mountain and pick all the raspberries.
Raspberries will tell you the secret that you know.
Hey, hey now.
Go, Zara.
I'm sitting in a cave eating honey. I wish I had
like
a little bunny.
Oh. Like a honey bear. Oh, sorry.
I was saying a bunny.
Life's a banquet.
Life's a banquet.
Yeah.
Hey. That was amazing. Yeah. We rehearsed that for
Thanks, everybody.
3 weeks.
So a new theme song. I'm a composer.
Yeah, that's really so good.
I just suddenly I was outside at the park, and you ever get those moments like Beethoven or Mozart, and suddenly they just like a lightning bolt.
Yeah, it's like an aha moment.
Enters your soul and says, play this on the guitar.
No, it was really, really good.
I just want everybody to know that I haven't touched a guitar in many years, and I just decided to pull it out.
Where the fuck did that even come from?
It was under the bed.
Okay.
It was expensive.
It's very dusty.
It's so dusty.
Noticing now.
I took a few guitar lessons, I think, in 2007.
Okay.
And I thought I was going to be a guitarist, and it lasted for a few lessons.
Yeah, I also took guitar lessons when I was in the sixth grade, and I have no patience for learning any kind of process, so I just decided I would cook food for my guitar teacher instead. And so my mom and I would just like make him food, and he was just kind of this like,
and thus the career,
that's where my
and
cooking
star
career
is born.
I was like, how about some Kraft macaroni and cheese with
what if I put some sriracha in?
Yeah, this has ketchup in it
and some sliced pickled jalapeno.
Oh, sliced pickled jalapenos. In do you remember when I told you about that chicken last week, or the chicken we had in New Orleans?
Yes,
it was called and I can't remember this freaking name, but Giacomo's is the nighttime restaurant.
Okay.
Krabby Jack's.
Okay.
It's called Krabby Jack's Fried Chicken.
Amazing.
I'm going to tell everybody, you have to go to New Orleans, go to Krabby Jack's, get the fried chicken. They have a plate and it's just beyond. And the side of macaroni and cheese had sliced pickled jalapenos. And I've never seen that. And Preston's like, everybody does that.
I've never seen that before, but I don't eat that much mac and cheese anymore.
It's really.
That sounds delicious.
It's really bad for you.
It's just not part of my life, but I like it. I used to love the mac and cheese at Dumont. That was my jam. That was so good.
I met this gay guy in the 90s, and I went to his house, and he didn't have any butter. He lived in a mini. It was like right when I was
What kind
first.
Of gay doesn't have any
it
butter?
It was like my boyfriend at the time, his friend, who's like 34 at the time, and I was like, oh my God, 34 is so old.
Yeah.
And
that's
he's
my
like,
actual
I don't have
age.
Butter. He goes, it's just not a part of my life anymore since I came out of the closet. I was like,
what?
Wait a second.
I feel like you embrace butter when you come out of the closet. You're like, butter is fabulous. All
my
of the
Instagram
luxuries.
Name is Breton Buttered.
I know.
I live a life that's around.
Yeah, you're
my
all
life
about
is,
butter.
Yeah. I'm opening, just so you know, everybody, you can go to my Kickstarter page, which hasn't happened yet. But it's on my vision
make
board.
Make a note on your iPhone.
It's totally on my vision board. And yeah, I want to have a butter company with cows that graze over the green grass of Vermont, and I want to compete with Kerrygold.
Yeah,
it's gonna be like Kerrygold, Land O'Lakes, and Breton Buttered butter.
I think that's an amazing idea. If you're being serious, I fully support
it.
Yeah,
I just need to raise the money for the cows.
Okay, cool. So you just need like $3 or $4 million.
Well, actually, I need $500 million because that's really expensive to start a dairy farm.
It is. It's true. Yeah. You need a lot, like
and
insurance
land.
And
yeah. But
people
listen,
slipping on butter.
I'm definitely really opening up to a managing partner.
Wow.
Listeners out there.
Cool. Okay. Perfect. Awesome. Everybody, email the email we don't have and fund the Kickstarter that doesn't exist. Okay,
if
cool.
If it's meant to be, we'll just run into each other.
I used to love Kraft macaroni and cheese when I was a kid, though. Mm-hmm. And you know what was even more of my jam was Stouffer's macaroni and cheese, the microwavable vibey.
Stouffer's.
That was good.
I couldn't. I liked the squeeze packet of...
you were into like the nacho cheese. Yeah, Velveeta was good.
Mini shells and cheese.
Delicious.
That stuff felt like shaving cream. In yeah. Like the, but in like...
It was like no, lube.
More than, it was more really thick shaving cream. I don't even.
It was fluffy. Yeah, it was like shaving
cream. It was, if you could combine lube, shaving cream, and hair paste.
Yeah.
That's what it tasted like.
Velveeta. I used to do the Kraft macaroni and cheese, but with two packets of, I was a gross fat kid. And I would do.
You were fat?
Yeah, like no, but okay, like well, chubby. Chubby.
When we begin filming, we were supposed to start filming our podcast. Okay, so when we film, you'll see how thin and glamorous Sarah looks right now.
It's true.
And I'm not going to
break up diet,
but I'm losing a few pounds myself.
You look amazing.
You know?
Yeah.
Listen, at Life's a Banquet, we love to eat and we love to drink.
But we throw up afterwards.
But we definitely practice bulimia. No, I'm not kidding. And I should never joke about that. That's horrible.
No, it's not funny.
I actually thought about being bulimic.
Yeah, I've struggled with it in my earlier years.
Sorry, no joke. And both you and I have had borderline.
Yeah.
If not completely.
Yeah. Sorry, all the bulimics out there.
That's the thing about being a cook and being like when you're younger, and I won't disclose my age. I'm kind of like Zsa Zsa Kapoor. I'm Dick Clark. I'm forever
in more than one way.
I'm forever 33 years old. The perfect man.
You look 33. You could say you were 33. I believe it.
I am 33. That's yeah. And whatever. So the thing about getting older, like when you're younger in your 20s, it's really easy to eat and cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I kid you not, now like all that gorgeous stuff, like you look at the macaroni and cheese and you wear it.
Yeah.
Honey, the macaroni becomes a little side girdle.
I know. It's really true. It's like you become your parents slowly but surely, and like things that like adults, quote unquote, would say when you're younger, like that's going to go straight to my hips. You're like,
moment of the lips, a lifetime.
What does that even mean? When you're young, you're like, where are your hips even? You know, you're like, what's a hip?
Mine haven't grown in yet.
And you're like, oh fuck, this is a hip. It's the part that gets big when I eat like a cheeseburger.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's total
I remember
BS.
Like a long time ago, like love handles. I was like, I don't understand. Why would you have those flaps?
What
of fat
is, I still don't understand why it's called a love handle. So because you like grab onto it and you're like fucking
Zara,
someone.
Yes.
Don't, okay.
Not. First of all, there could be children listening, and if you are, it's a very natural part of life.
It's true. Very, get the book, can, Where Did I Come From?
Yeah, yeah. There's a really cool website. It's called redtube.com, and you can find all about the breeding process. The birds and the bees.
Oh, birds do it.
Bees do it.
Even educated fleas do it.
Let's do it.
Let's fall in love.
Okay, so Zara.
Yes.
Let's get down to brass tacks
here.
Yeah,
let's do it. Like bees.
How was your week? Let's talk a week, and now it's time for
a week in the life.
A week in the life of Chef Recommends.
Well, my week on a personal level was abysmal, but on a on a professional level, it was interesting. It was good. Worked a lot. Did a lot of parties. Brenton and I worked a party together.
We really liked a really fun party.
It was really fun. The guests were fun. There was birthday cake. There was...
The host was a wonderful, wonderful person.
Lovely.
That used to go to your restaurant. He's wonderful and...
Lovely.
Great people. Great fun times. Lots of booze. Tons of... Zara made this gorgeous ceviche.
That was good, wasn't it? You want to tell them what was in it?
I know it had mandarins and some pecan... not pecans.
Cashew.
Sorry.
It's pronounced cashew.
Sorry.
Yeah, satsumas, cashews.
Satsumas.
Tuna.
I ate 2 quarts of it. There was so much food left
God,
over.
Oh my God, that's so much.
There was so much ceviche. I actually don't feel well. Too much ceviche.
That's a lot.
And then you had guacamole and let's call it an avocado dip.
I know. I feel like guacamole sounds like, I mean,
an avocado dip.
Yeah. It had cucumbers and peas in it.
Mashed peas, cucumbers, really fresh, really nice.
I like that. Personally, just for all you listeners out there, guacamole doesn't just have to be avocado.
It can
incorporate a lot
of
things.
When I got home, I said, this is kind of an offshoot of guacamole. And Preston said, so it's an avocado dip.
Yeah.
I said, oh my gosh, I never thought
Yeah.
We call it avocado toast. You call it guacamole. Then why not avocado dip?
Avocado dippy doo. Dippity doo da.
Listen, you got scallions. You got lemon. It doesn't matter. Just mash it, dip it, scoop it, eat it.
Exactly. People have gone crazy, crazy, crazy for avocados.
Oh,
everybody.
Avocados. Two for one, one for two. Yeah. But so that was really good. And then you had the.
Oh, and then those like fried wontons that had like almond butter
and
chèvre,
that's right,
and like a little crumbly crumble of like almonds and pickled cherries and bacon.
Mm-hmm. So good. I made some really fun food. I got a lot of questions that night about the difference because we made Negronis, batched Negronis, which means we made a pitcher of Negronis and just poured them into ice.
Yeah, people got fucked up.
People got drunk, and I had a lot of questions that night about the difference between a Negroni and Old Pal.
Okay.
And a Boulevardier.
You want to drop some knowledge?
All right, let's talk about this. These are all Campari-based cocktails, right?
Yes.
So here we go. The classic Negroni, invented in what was it, Harry's Bar? No, that was the Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah, that was the Bloody Mary.
Somewhere.
We'll have to do a history of the Negroni sometime.
Negroni, was it like, I don't know if it was in Veneto. Anyway,
I
should know this because I used to be a bartender, but I was a big phony, and here I am. Here I am doing a podcast. Just
here,
listen up,
and
folks.
Here you are with a world-famous podcast all of a sudden.
Einstein said, don't keep frivolous information in your head. Be alive and experience everything. Open your mind to that. So screw you, date mongers. Go to Jeopardy. Let's talk about it. Anyway, Negroni is equal parts gin, Campari, and a sweet vermouth, such as Martini and Rossi, or Giuseppe Carpano. Giuseppe Carpano.
Antica
Formula, 1942.
That's my fave.
It's wonderful. Wonderful.
The best.
So those are equal parts of Boulevardier. Instead of the gin, use a whiskey, right? A bourbon. And then an Old Pal is rye. Am I correct?
I think so.
If bartenders ding-a-ling ring, go on the website, comment, and be like, you're totally wrong. Guess what? I don't care. We're never going to speak again.
We'll never see you, and we don't really care.
We'll never see
you,
and I'm going to drink it.
We're just making this all up.
Yeah.
Breton, you did an amazing job bartending.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like, no.
I kept it together.
No shit. Let's see. A Boulevardier, rye.
And then the Old Pal is...
Old Pal is...
See, even...
You're an Old Pal.
See, even us professionals use Google.
That's true. I always thought an Old Pal was bourbon.
Well, let me tell you, the proof is in the pudding. We drink so many Negronis that we've ruined those particular...
They're both with rye.
Don't believe... I told you this is why there's a big discrepancy. I can't...
Oh, you know what? I thought an Old Pal was with scotch, but I'm now thinking of a Rob Roy. I'm thinking of Roy Rogers, which was my grandfather's favorite fast food restaurant.
Shirley Temple or Kitty Cocktail?
What's a Kitty Cocktail?
Exactly.
A Kitty Cocktail?
Is a Shirley Temple.
Dude, I should have known I would become an alcoholic because I used to pound Shirley Temples.
We should do a study and be like, those of us that had multiple Shirley Temples, be like, yeah, bring it on. Four cherries this time. Extra grenadine because the future...
Just
the
skip
grenadine,
the ice.
Yeah. Grenadine slowly became
a Shirley Temple neat.
Grenadine, as a child, just converted itself into like tequila.
I used to drink Shirley Temples mostly when we would go. There was a restaurant in my hometown called Tung Ting, which was a fancy Chinese restaurant with a carpet. Carpet, chandeliers, waiters wearing tuxedos, fish tank, blah, blah, blah. And that's like where my soft spot for restaurants really is at. And we used to... meaning me, I'm an only child, me and my imaginary friend used to...
my stuffed animal.
Me and Mr. Snuffles used to just drink about 10 Shirley Temples every time we went up to the Tung Ting.
Tung
Ting. Sesame chicken. You know what I miss? One of the things I loved about those like old-fashioned Chinese restaurants, you would sit down and there would be automatically fried wontons and duck sauce on your table and spicy mustard.
Oh, yeah.
Something on a bread basket. Something on the table. That's a lost art. It's like something that's not fashionable anymore.
You want bread, you have to pay.
And I mean, I get it because we used to charge for bread too.
Here's the deal. Bread is... there was a great article in the New York Times about the hidden cost of a restaurant. And having fresh bread is outrageously expensive.
It is expensive, but it's also really nice. And it also makes you full, so you don't order enough food. So it's really not advantageous for the restaurateur.
You can drink more.
Yeah.
Soak up that alcohol.
But man, even just something like fried wontons. I think every restaurant, Chinese or not, should have fried wontons with spicy mustard and duck sauce on the table.
It's so funny, right?
New York, are you listening?
Mexican restaurants have to have chips and salsa. Oh my God. And if they don't, then it's like a new thing. And
yeah. Remember the place we went in Nashville that just was like that kind of...
Okay.
I love that place.
We do a shout out in the beginning. Went to a restaurant, Sarah. It's called Zia, right?
Zia, yeah. So Zia Taqueria.
It was, well, I was my first time, and Sarah was like, oh, what are you gonna... And I was being kind of a little judgmental.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Tex-Mex, like, whatevs. And we get in, and it was just so nice. And our host just, we wanted a drink right away, and she's like, well, I'll just make
it. She jumped behind the bar on Friday night to make us a drink.
Made us pint glasses of fresh lime margaritas in a pint glass.
Yeah.
For $6 a piece.
It's the greatest place on earth.
I'm like, I go to New York and I spend $14 for a half pour in a rocks glass. And I'm like, girl, I just like that little tiny straw. I like,
yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's 14 plus tip.
I know. I'm telling you.
Listen.
Go outside of the city.
Asheville.
That place is great though. And like free chips and salsa.
They had pitchers of salsa.
Pitchers
and if you
salsa.
Would even finish half your chips, there'd be a fabulous short-haired, curly, like curly short-haired lesbian that would like whisk it away.
I know.
Like, oh, I've noticed your...
I love that. I love that place. You know, sometimes like you spend so much time around food and like cool restaurants and stuff. You're just like, I just want something chill.
That's what's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So should we get into our topic for today?
Yeah.
What do you think? Should we do it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to say, I told you this before, but... I had thought all week that my topic was going to be salt, and I think we should do that another time because...
No, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Oops, sorry, you missed it.
Someone's doing salt at some point.
Do it when you least suspect it.
We're going to bombard you in 10 years because we're going to do this podcast for the rest of our lives, and we're going to be like, and now for the history... But there's a lot to explore with salt. Let me tell you, it's very interesting.
Yeah, there's a book written about it, movies about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
Wars about it.
Yeah, wars. Yeah, there's
there
a lot.
Are schools. Inside of salt beds.
Oh my God.
There's a school. Google it. I looked at it. Somebody told me that once and I didn't believe them. And there's a school and a society and they, yeah.
Wow.
And I'm not going to tell you the name of it because I don't want to give you the wrong information.
Okay, cool. That's where Google comes in.
Fake news is a real thing, folks.
That's really funny. So
life's about, we can't afford fact checkers yet.
Yeah, so. No fact checkers. Everything is just conjecture, really.
Whatever you want it to be, whatever you say. We believe it. That's the new media.
Don't expect facts. So I didn't do that. And for those of you who don't know me personally, I am having a bad time in my life. My dad just died. I have had some financial hardships for the past couple years. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've got some heartbreak going on. And I was like, why don't you pick a story that's a little bit more honest than like how fabulous salt is, which again is great, but I just wanted to be a bit more true to myself. So I started looking up today, unrelated to finding a topic because I was all set on salt, famous bankruptcies, because I have a bankruptcy in my recent past. And I was trying to make myself feel better and be like, oh, these famous people have gone from bankruptcy to riches.
To the president.
Yeah, to the president. Exactly.
Donald Trump was bankrupt and he's the president.
4 times.
If there's one inspiring thing this man does
right.
for us.
So this podcast is going to be about how amazing Donald Trump is. Just kidding. So here's a couple of people. Just to name a few.
Is this in the food world or just
No, this is just the build up to my story.
Okay. Oh, Bill.
A couple of famous people who you may have heard of who have suffered a bankruptcy in your life. So if you're someone out there who's suffering from a financial hardship.
Or thinking about it.
Or thinking about getting into one.
A friend of mine is asking, what's that lawyer's name? I just was considering bankruptcy.
So in case you're thinking of tanking your life or anything else, or if you're just going through any kind of hard time, a depression, you know, a divorce, a death, anything, because this week, I'll be honest, I'm not usually someone who suffers from depression. Like, I mean, the blues, yes, but like true depression. And this past couple of weeks, I was like, I'm in a depression. I feel like life is never going to get better. I think that it's all over and there's really no point in, you know, no need to call the loony bin on me right now, but I'm just saying, like, I was really depressed. I never thought it would get better, and it might not, but here are some
but in the meantime
here are some stories about people who went through bankruptcies. Tom Petty, ever heard of him?
I did. The late Tom Petty.
The late, great Tom Petty. One of my idols.
Into the Great Wide Open.
Yeah. After his first two albums, he declared bankruptcy. 50 Cent, Kim Basinger, Marvin Gaye, Mark Twain, Abraham Lincoln.
Our hero, our nation's hero.
Abraham Lincoln, Larry King, our other national hero.
Oh my God, I read that book. Wait, would I read How to Talk to Anybody Anytime?
No, I never read it, but he filed for bankruptcy, and then the same exact year that he filed for bankruptcy, he started the Larry King Show.
Oh my God.
It's incredible. Oh, Henry Ford, Ulysses S. Grant, Wayne Newton, George Foreman.
George Foreman?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds.
Oh God.
Walt Disney.
Oh yeah, we know that.
Hershey.
Yeah.
Milton Hershey. And then the person who our story is about today.
And go ahead.
Henry John Heinz.
Oh.
Of Heinz Ketchup.
Why the... I don't swear because I gave it up for Lent. But why the heck would you not bring me a order of French fries with
Well, I was going to. I couldn't find any French fries. But I did bring you...
A packet of Heinz?
A bottle of ketchup.
Oh, and it's organic.
Yeah. I brought you a bottle of ketchup.
Wait. Can I keep this?
Yeah.
No joke.
It's a present. I know you don't have ketchup in your fridge.
I don't. And
But I it's a good ingredient to
ketchup
have.
Lover.
I love ketchup. My mom loved ketchup.
I'm going to take a little.
Yeah. I thought we could each have a little taste. I was going to bring some mayonnaise, too, and so we could make magic sauce. But then I was just like, what are we going to put it on? We're just going to eat mayonnaise and ketchup. A spoonful.
My sister and I used to make mayonnaise and ketchup sandwiches.
Oh my God.
Because we didn't really want the burger and didn't want to fuss with putting on the Foreman grill.
Yeah.
And we would just put ketchup and mayonnaise and it was delicious.
Yeah.
Sometimes
mustard. My mom called it magic sauce and we would always eat it with roast chicken.
In Utah, they call it fry sauce.
Yeah. It's the best combination of any two things. Fuck peanut butter and jelly.
Okay. Two things. First of all, let's talk about the downfalls of ketchup, which is the clear liquid.
the clear liquid that's there before.
The clear liquid that comes
it's
out
like
on your plate.
It's like the pre-cum.
It's
horrible.
So gross.
It's
like
so
it comes out,
stupid.
You're like, oh God.
Why this? I know, it's ridiculous. And like, it's worse if you have one of those glass bottles and you're at a diner and you're like, oh God, all this water just got out for everything.
It's like,
it's disgusting.
It's like bad pre-cum.
Yeah, it is.
We don't even like to say it. Kids, if you're listening, Google it. Again, check out Red Tube.
Yeah.
Google
pre-com. Just figure it out.
So anyway, nobody likes Heinz a dribbly pre-com.
No.
But whatever, you work through it, you squeeze a little more, and out comes the good stuff.
Out comes
that.
Yeah.
Thing.
Just
bada
like
boom.
Life. Just like real life.
Yeah, squeeze it, shake it, put it on the plate, and da-da.
I love ketchup.
So let's talk about that. And so, yeah, and it should be served room temperature, people.
Absolutely. Cold ketchup has no place in our society.
Cold ketchup with fries is unacceptable.
It's
and
disgusting.
I don't care. And if you want to call me right now, I will personally go outside and have a haiku fight with you on top of any park.
I don't know why it has to be even kept in the refrigerator at all.
I feel like there's so much acid, and I believe there's sodium benzoate. I love
Well, I'm
going
to get to talking. Read the ingredients because I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this company.
Okay, so this is organic tomato paste, or red ripe tomatoes, organic distilled vinegar, organic cane sugar, salt, organic onion powder, and again, organic spice, which is a. And here's what I'm a little confused about, but natural flavoring, which is fine.
Natural flavorings. I will tell you that in my research, I found out that Heinz. The founder of Heinz, and then also it just flowed down the pike that he was really, really like intense about trying to do the best thing possible, use the best ingredients. They've always been a company, apparently, from what I've read, that's been really concerned about the environment and about having.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you a little bit more. I was shocked to find out. So, 1869, Heinz and Noble forms Clarence Noble and Henry J. Heinz, and they start by packaging horseradish. And it was called Pure.
Where were they? Wait, where were they from? Sorry, did you just tell me where they were living at the time?
It was in near Pittsburgh.
Got it.
Yeah,
the industrious
Heinz himself had grown up with German immigrant parents.
Heinz,
and he helped. They wanted to move to America, a place that had a big garden, and they would grow horseradish.
What a horseradish garden.
He would sell the vegetables. Yeah, of course. Who doesn't? I imagine how good that would smell, a horseradish garden.
My grandmother used to pull it out, and you have to use gloves. It'll burn your fingers.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no clue. That's amazing.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. They were German.
I believe it. But
or
so
they lied to me.
They would. He would sell like vegetables on like a horse-drawn carriage to like people in the neighborhood, and then he became obsessed with the horseradish and was like, "There's no available horseradish that's in a jar," and so their first product with Heinz was horseradish.
Hmm.
Yeah, say that. Can you say that 10 times fast? Horseradish. I guess you can.
Horseradish.
I'm from a line of Jews, and we love horseradish in my family. In fact, we had some the other day with gefilte fish.
I got the Polish German thing.
Yeah, Eastern Europeans like horseradish in general.
Excuse me.
It's like no other flavor, kind of though.
The deviled eggs at Henry Public have a really nice amount of horseradish lately, and I'm
those
very
are good
into
deviled
that.
Eggs.
Yeah,
they're
Henry
delicious.
Public over on Atlantic and Henry Street in Brooklyn.
Henry Public, the best.
Listen, we're doing a segment called, I've decided today, and it may or may not happen, but stay tuned. I want to call it In Search of the Perfect Martini. And what I mean, remember I texted you that?
Yeah.
What I meant by that was not just the martini, but it has to be the experience, the bartender. Yeah. You know the bartender when somebody just makes it right?
Yes.
And we have a friend, and I don't even want to give his name away because I don't want to make him too famous because of
just
our millions of listeners.
Just say who it is.
Who, Marty?
Yeah.
Listen, Marty is a great guy.
If you don't know Marty, you just don't really know much.
And I don't want to get off a Heinz thing, but...
Yeah, no.
But
it's fine. We can drop a Marty plug
solid
here.
Martini.
Martini? Because he's Marty?
Marty.
He was born to make martinis.
He was born to make martinis.
That's a good martini you can get there. But yes, we should have a segment.
There's tons of other good bartenders there, and we're going to give them equal separate.
Of course. More to come on the best martini in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And then we can do the best Manhattan
and we have
martini.
Matthew and Justin work there, too. And they're...
Yeah. They're great.
Old friends of mine, too, and they're fabulous.
It's a wonderful place. And it's fitting to talk about it because, it's one of the places you go to eat ketchup.
Ketchup.
It's one of the only places. Yeah, their fries are delicious.
Horseradish.
Horseradish. It's a perfectly, it makes a lot of sense that we would go there. So they were making a bunch of different products. They were making horseradish. They were making pickles, making all that kind of stuff. And things just weren't going well. It was really popular, but as like a lot of businesses, mm-hmm. I hear even when things are going well, sometimes the financials don't work out.
Wait a second.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? I've not...
allegedly,
this happens.
So wait, are you
happens.
Telling me that behind the scenes...
Yes, something wasn't
the glam
going
and the
right.
Smoke and the mirrors.
That's quite
the
right.
The cogs and...
They just couldn't sell enough horseradish to keep the business afloat. So in 1875, Heinz files for
bankruptcy.
However, he was a true pioneer and entrepreneur, and he could not be thwarted by the circumstances, which, I mean,
that's
good
right.
For
you,
bro.
Back, you get back right up again.
Right. So what do you think he did? What do you think he did to pull himself up by them old nasty bootstraps?
He took up kickboxing and became a part-time spin instructor.
No, he didn't. No. A year later, he brought the first bottled ketchup to America.
Wait,
ketchup.
Was from German?
No, you want to know where ketchup was really from? So ketchup was actually originally Chinese.
Oh, that's right.
Chinese,
they invented everything.
And it
everything.
Was not tomato. It was fermented. It was basically a fish sauce was the first ketchup. Then
interesting.
Then ketchup became really popular in the UK, also not tomato, it was mushroom based. So it was like a sweet mushroom walnut thing.
It sounds on trend.
Yeah, exactly.
Shiitake walnut.
And we have like the chef recommends.
Chef recommends shiitake walnut, wild striped bass.
Yeah, so the chef recommends.
We have a pan seared wild striped bass with shiitake walnut puree over a bed of field greens. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, no, that sounds right.
Of
keep going.
local bitter greens. There
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, rooftop
local
greens.
LBG. Local bitter greens. They're fucking good.
Yeah. Hey, man,
we
I love bitter.
We are lucky to have local bitter greens.
We are. We're lucky to have everything. I mean, we're sitting here, we're drinking champagne, we're talking shit on perfectly adorable waitresses just doing their job. You know, we live in the life.
Life's a banquet is being maybe perhaps low on work. We have work. You know, we work. Maybe like down in the dump sometimes, and Life is a Banquet is about taking that Wednesday 4 p.m. slot.
Exactly.
that sort of...
Just fill it up with
that
champagne.
Like 2
and
to 8 p.m. sort of like window that somebody without a full-time job would have.
Exactly. Where all those other suckers are out there like with their nose to the grindstone. Exactly.
Like making emails.
Yeah.
Like walking down the subway, losing service. We We are sitting here.
Walking dogs.
Yeah.
Like packs of dogs.
We are sitting here talking about ketchup, and I'm dipping it into my finger.
Yeah.
Slurping it down.
We're very lucky people. We really are. Gratitude. Gratitude. Ooh. Look it up. So, what?
That's rather deductive. Or it's
reductive?
Reductive. Look it up.
Look it up.
Madonna's.
Look it up. That's my sexy radio voice.
Look it up. Okay, so what happens? Tell me.
Okay, so listen, he starts a new company with his cousins called the F&J Heinz Company.
So they're still doing mushroom shiitake ball.
No. They brought tomato ketchup.
Oh, so they're
saying. They were like the first ones to bring tomato ketchup.
That was based from like Indonesian or Indian.
I have no idea. I mean, I could have researched this more heavily, but you know, I've only got an hour.
Yeah.
But I am interested to find out more. But so tomato ketchup was, I actually do know. So tomato ketchup was something that was going on in America for a while, but it was like this really lengthy process. I read like a ton of recipes from like the early, I don't know, to mid to late 1800s. And it was just like boil down like 100 tomatoes. And it was like a 3-day process and you get like 4 bottles of ketchup. But so this was invented, and part of the marketing was like,
God, I love the
all you housewives, this is like a gift to housewives. You no more time toiling over the ketchup making process.
It must be so hard. I used to make ketchup.
Yeah. Homemade ketchup is the one thing I don't
put too much clove in it.
Like.
I put too much clove in it, but I feel like.
Yeah, I won't fuck with it ever.
I'm going to continue to make it, and one day you're going to like it.
I will tell you the truth about this because it is the one thing I'm very, very picky about.
I know.
I don't like processed foods in general.
I always want you to tell me the truth.
I just love Heinz ketchup, and I've never found anything that can compare to it.
Do you remember when I was kind of into Sir Kensington's for a little bit?
Yeah, I don't like that.
No diss against it.
I think they're doing great work. It's just not for me.
And yeah, I just, at the end of the day, I don't know. And I thought for a second I grew into Sir Kensington's, and then I came right back.
They're not Heinz. It's fine. Right, it's another fine product. That's the thing. I don't dislike it as like an item, you know, but it is not Heinz's ketchup.
That's how I think. Yeah, yeah.
That's how I think because I'm just used to it. So in 1888, the bankruptcy got all cleared up. He was good to go. In 1896, Heinz is on a train. And he sees an advertisement for shoes. And the advertisement was like 21 different styles of shoes. And so he was like, we need to put that on the logo, 57.
Heinz,
and he got
57 varieties.
They didn't have 57 varieties. They had 60. He picked 57 because his lucky number was 5 and his wife's lucky number was 7. And he thought it just sounded better. Isn't that so cute?
That is very
cute. I know.
Cute.
So there goes Heinz 57. And they did have a lot of things.
Wait, what kind of varieties?
They had like soup. They had like canned tomato soup. They had beans.
Oh, okay. That's yeah, it was all like the other Heinz stuff that we
right, relish, horseradish, different like vinegars.
60?
Yeah, 60 different
food
things.
Food product company.
I know. I was trying to think. I'm like, what were the 60 things? I'm like, how many kinds of beans could they possibly have
had? I mean, I've always wanted to have a condiment company.
I know.
In addition to my butter company. Don't get me wrong. But I thought.
I love condiments.
Condiments are the best.
Do you ever meet anyone who's like doesn't like condiments? Like on a whole?
I have met them and then we've never spoken.
I can't. And I hate to make generalizations like this. I do know people that don't like condiments and I do like them.
But she talks behind your back.
But I do. I'm talking behind your back now to everyone in the world.
Because to your face.
To all, every inside, American who's obviously listening right now.
Directly into your eardrums.
Why close. Don't you like condiments? What's not to like? No condiment? Not one thing.
My brother doesn't like mayonnaise.
I mean, that's sick. But I get it. But like it's sick, but I get it. Like, okay, you don't like mayonnaise, but like you don't like mayonnaise, you don't like ketchup, you don't like tartar sauce, you don't
relish,
like relish,
tartar sauce, mustard.
You don't like hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
You don't like hot sauce. You don't like hot sauce. Now I'm like really good rabbi. You don't like hot sauce. You know,
girl, that Long Island slipped out
you don't
of
like
it.
Hot sauce.
I'm like hot sauce.
Listen, I'm from Hopwalk. I was at the Wool Women Mall.
I was in it. In a bathtub.
Yeah, I was in a Clofa bathtub at the Woman Wall, and I was like, I just wish I had some hot sauce.
I haven't even told you. I mean, since we talked about that, I went to Long Island to work at that thing, and I was surrounded in this really cool environment, just shooting some video. And I won't disclose the business, but there was it was a really cool Long Island accent.
Yeah.
And I had never been around all day. We were just around.
Yeah.
people talking in this very
thick accent. Very lazy. It's very nasal. I'm very lazy.
Girls being like, go get martinis. Yeah. Girls martinis. It's... Oh my God, she got a classy dog walker.
Oh my God.
I wrote down, remember, a classy dog walker.
It's like taking a lot of shortcuts, which yeah. Long Islanders actually also like in like traffic patterns, you know.
Always trying to
get one over on the man.
Tells you about the whole... Yeah. The whole island of Long Island.
Long Island.
Let's get back on track.
So this happens.
This guy is starting to make some money.
Exactly. Everything's coming together. The year is 1896.
So now
he develops the 57 logo. It goes on all the bottles. He's making all different kinds of stuff. 1906, the Pure Food Act comes out, which is kind of what you were talking about before, the FDA tries to pass things. I'm not going to get too big into it, but it's like regulations about, like, you know, do the right thing, don't do this, do that. And Heinz was like really with it because they were like one of the only companies that were it was basically when you had to print all of your information on the label, like all the ingredients.
Well, yeah, because science was coming out.
Right. And Heinz was happy to do it because they were really proud of everything they put into their ketchup.
Well, diddly ding.
Yeah.
Diddly do. That is incredible.
I know. I never knew. I would have figured it was like a really crummy company. And out there, to all you millions of people that are listening, if you know something different about Heinz, definitely please send it to the email address that we don't have and we'd love to know it. but everyone always said that he was a great business owner and he treated his employees like amazingly. Everyone really loved him. All the salesmen in like the 30s apparently had to be like 6 feet tall and handsome.
it's a regular. You're not going to hire me.
Exactly. You would be too short.
I'm 5'7.5" and handsome.
Yeah. You'd be out. You would have to wear stilts or big high heeled shoes.
I could get lifts up to 6 feet.
Yeah. That's fine.
4 inches.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you would have gotten a job then if you just wear your high heels.
Yeah. But throw my hair out. Keep a little bit of
giant. Or you just wear one of those like really tall hats.
Yeah, put some Velveeta in my hair. Oh my God, Velveeta is a hair product. Done.
So everyone was really giant. And then in the 1940s, jumping forward a little bit, no ketchup.
You're kidding. What?
No ketchup.
What happened?
Because there was problems with money. Problems with money and supplies.
So people just stopped growing tomatoes.
Post-Depression, they stopped growing tomatoes. And so, or like in the Depression era, which obviously was earlier in the 40s, but like
plant with corn, Monsanto probably took over and was like, you can plant these nasty tomatoes. These are nightshades. Oh my God.
There was no ketchup, at least in the UK, but I think everywhere there was no ketchup for like almost 10 years. And then they brought it back. And then jumping forward even more, plastic bottles got introduced in 1987.
That's another one. Plastic bottles.
I like the glass bottles.
Plastic bottles.
I like the glass bottles. I like the glass bottles. There's nothing like a glass bottle of ketchup. You bump it from the back and then all of it like just slides out and ruins all your food.
Oh, you got to stick your knife in it. It's always always an icebreaker for a stranger at a diner. Like,
yeah. I'll stick the knife. Like, but then you stick the knife in it and like it pours out.
I'm sorry, but I think at this point of our society with all the media coverage out there, that the fact that people still lift up a Heinz bottle and don't know how to do it.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. You should just...
Listen, good things do come to those who wait. What a great slogan.
Yeah, it's a great...
They were like, oh, it's a problem. Well, let's just make us... Let's make it fabulous.
Yeah. But yeah, someone who just is like, I'm hitting it and I just don't understand what's happening. It's like, you just have to finesse it a little bit. Like, it's, you know, just you don't want to move it too hard. It'll all come out at once.
Jiggle it back and forth. You don't want to get that...
You don't want to get that little water to come out.
Careful when you start shaking that thing and open the cap, some of that water spills out before you get the surprise.
Exactly. But yeah, I love a glass bottle of ketchup. I love a good diner.
Okay, so chef recommends things with ketchup. Chef recommends ketchup with scrambled eggs.
I love ketchup and scrambled eggs.
Absolutely. Okay, first of all, everybody's like, ew, gross, I would never. Okay, false.
Listen, never had it.
New York City, I know that you're out there in other places because I know other places have New York style delis. If you get a classic egg sandwich at a deli, they're going to ask you if you want ketchup. Salt, pepper, ketchup. And most people say yes.
SPK.
Half and half. SPK. So.
BTK, SPK.
Okay. So if you put some ketchup on your scrambled eggs without toast, then it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Ketchup and eggs is delicious. I used to only be able to eat eggs with ketchup. Now I'm different. But I've changed a lot in many ways. I also used to be afraid of the movie Gremlins. But people change.
I watched out of Pet Sematary. I couldn't.
Oh, I rewatched that recently. It's absolutely terrifying.
It's because Pet Sematary is terrible because of spirits, and it could be real, and it's the worst.
I mean, the guy's an idiot. He deserved everything he got. He's an idiot. Why would, I mean, you know, you saw what happened to the cat. He's like, I'm going to bury him anyway. I'm just going to bury him.
I'm getting chills. Yeah. I was so scared.
It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrifying.
Children in the Corn. And Children of the Corn and Pet Sematary, I think, are two of the scariest movies ever. Which,
agreed.
Don't eat ketchup during a scary movie.
No, that is a number one.
Okay, chef does not recommend. eating like
no.
Stick to popcorn.
Chef recommends a little bit of ketchup if you're having meatloaf.
Oh, ketchup and meatloaf!
Oh my god, it's so good.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, it's just like a burger. Mm-hmm. I love ketchup and meatloaf. And like, I think we said this before, magic sauce, my family, my mom would always make magic sauce, which was ketchup, mayonnaise, lemon, and we would always have it with roast chicken. Chef, and that's why I was a fat kid. I'm like eating mayonnaise by like the tablespoon.
Chef also recommends for a simple burger sauce, buzzing up some, and you know, in your food processor, some ketchup, mayonnaise, pickles, garlic powder, little mustard, and you make a little like burger sauce.
Russian dressing, like a little secret sauce.
Yeah, you're making a Russian dressing, and that's, guess what? That's the secret sauce.
Yeah.
For what's it called? Shake Shack.
Yeah. Also, chef recommends. I use ketchup sometimes if I'm making like a fun like Chinese American meal, like General Tso's or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah, that's what's in General Tso's. Orange chicken.
Okay, here's the thing. Steak tartare, ketchup or no?
Oh, I never do. I never have done.
I don't like it.
But I would try it.
I would try it. I can taste it.
I've never done that before. I never even thought of it.
I'm not into it.
Cocktail sauce.
Whatever happened to, speaking of Heinz, does everyone remember, okay, first of all, back in the 80s and 90s, right, you go to a steakhouse and I'm from Wisconsin, and there you just have to have A1 or something.
I love A1.
As we got older and snobbier and had better aged meat, we'd be like, oh, I got so jacked, you know, ask for steak sauce with your steak.
Oh my god, I still love A1,
like,
though.
Chef recommends like the fucking steak as we cook it.
Yeah, of course. But like A1's delicious. But
I like A1.
I love it.
But Heinz 57.
Heinz 57 is also delicious.
I like that sauce.
It's still around. It's delicious.
Trending. 2018. Heinz 57.
Yeah.
And
it's good.
Also, just keep an eye out for sherbet, because I told you once and I'll tell you again.
Oh my god,
sherbet's coming.
How about Heinz 57?
Yeah, it's
sherbet.
Coming. It's coming.
Savory
it's all here.
Sherbet?
Goat's milk, Heinz 57. It's all there, folks.
That's funny. All right, listen, I have a couple more things to tell you about Heinz, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
In 2000, they launched their organic, which we just tried.
Thank God.
And in 2008, they made this like big push to reduce greenhouse gases by 20% by 2015. So they're like have a big kind of global consciousness. And then in 2013, everyone's favorite Democratic billionaire, Warren Buffett, bought Heinz. And they produced 50% of the world's ketchup. Mic drop. That was pretty good, right?
I mean,
isn't that an interesting story?
Yeah, it really is. I actually, just because you think about ketchup, as spring and summer approaches us, by the way, next week is Easter.
Yeah,
April,
a big ketchup holiday.
The weather is terrible. So, but no, think about this as we get ready for our barbecues.
Yeah.
And our french fries and put it on potato chips if I'm.
Oh, I will. Oh, you know what I love? When you accidentally, when you get a tuna melt and french fries, mm-hmm. and then like you accidentally dip your like tuna melt in ketchup, like, uh-oh, it just like got on here. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, here, I did it again.
Oh no, it got on it again. The whole thing is drenched in it.
I love it. Sauce that
I
comes
love.
Out in the beginning.
And ketchup and on potato chips, delicious.
Totally, like poor man's ketchup and fries in the car.
Yum.
Listen, when you're in a pinch, and I've been there, who hasn't? Walking through the airport and you just need a little sustenance.
No!
You just walk back and you suck down a mayonnaise and a ketchup packet. I've done it and I don't care. Listen, you all can, when you get on the plane and you're all stressed out and I'm sitting there,
you're just sitting
calm
there
as a little, calm as a grandma, just sitting in her rocking chair, be like, I already had my ketchup and mayonnaise.
Yeah, I'm just picturing you grab like whole handfuls of each, and you're nervous too about the plane, but your nervous habit is to like eat packets of ketchup, so you're freaking out. There's turbulence.
That's like my
you're like, everything's fine.
Every person that cleans that particular seat pocket finds, like, it's so weird. Every time this passenger flies, he has 79 empty packets. That's how I feel about those little half and half pasteurized little mini.
Do you use those?
Well, I drink them. I drink 10 to 15. I can't stop.
Day?
No, but if I'm at a diner, I can't. Really? It's a compulsion. I don't care how unprofessional it looks.
Oh, my God. Revelations. Yeah. Learning things about your friends. They like doing gross stuff. That's okay.
Listen, I think really what we can say here is that we do what you got to do to get by in this world.
Yeah, you do. So I have a question for you, being that we're talking about ketchup, and I think that leads us to your favorite topic ever, which would be French fries.
Can you
tell the millions of listeners out there who are waiting with breath that is bated to find out what your favorite French fry is?
All right, listen. First of all, I feel very, very confident about my French fry experience.
Oh, yeah. I think you have a lot of experience.
Listen, I have eaten French. I'm going to be Zsa Zsa Kapoor's age, which is anywhere between 32 and 77. I'm a 40-year-old man, and I've had a lot of French fries. I probably eat 3 French fry orders per week, every week of the year, since I've been 20. Yeah. So do the math. Siri.
The hell
every
lot.
Day for four. She said I couldn't.
Breton,
hear.
That's too many.
That's Breton. That explains.
Breton, you're going to die.
That explains your love handles.
Breton, you have 2 weeks to live.
Shut up. There's surgeries for that. Got a plastic. I'll get that lipo down. Listen. Okay, right now in Brooklyn, my favorite classic. Now, hold on a second. Are shoestring fries part of the equation? I don't put them in because I think they're their own thing.
They're their own thing. Also, you can say all different kinds of things. I mean, you could be like, this is my favorite shoestring fry. This is my favorite steak fry, if you like a steak fry, which I do.
All right, so let's divide it. In Brooklyn right now, the 2 best French fries, I will tell you, don't even argue with me, are Henry Public.
Yes.
And this is not necessarily number 1 and 2 because they're very different. And number 2.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Chez Matin. Chez Matin, for sure.
They're so good.
I had those there. They are truly a British style chip, which you cannot find, not even at the Spotted Pig, not at the Breslin's. Nothing bad about the Breslin, just like they don't deserve the number 1 best fries. They did it maybe at that time.
I do like the fries of the Breslin, but I hear what you're saying.
Chez Matin does it way better. They just were written up in the New York Times, and they got 2 stars from
Pete
Wells.
We love them. Friend restaurant. Good, good.
They are, go there. We love it. I don't even work for them, but I feel like I could.
We love it.
I just, but it's very delicious. Great chicken liver pate. Great little spot in Greenpoint.
Best.
To have a little cocktail. So those are the 2 best in Brooklyn. In Manhattan, I always love Pearl Oyster Bar, the shoestrings.
Oh my God, I love the shoestrings. I love Pearl Oyster Bar.
And I know that
I said
that those weren't like fries, but other than that, like I know it sounds weird, but I don't know. Where else?
I like the French fries when they're good. I like the French fries at diner.
Rowell's.
Oh my God, the French fries at Rowell's are amazing.
Rowell's are good, and so
they're delicious.
Yeah.
I think sometimes
Diner
has good fries, but you know, I've been there hundreds of times, and I've definitely, of course, when you go there, the only thing I'll say that, like, if you get the wrong fry cook who's maybe not paying enough attention, you get like a ton of little nubbins at the end.
You know what? Nubbins, when I had my restaurant, I'd be cooking.
Yeah.
And we made a lot of French fries, and I remember just thinking, Some of the line cooks would just like throw the nubbins. Yeah. Like, don't give somebody a plate of nubbins.
Maybe a couple nubbins are fun because then you're like, oh, I'm like so full and disgusting, but I still eat these little crunchy things that I'll just dip in mayonnaise.
Listen, you should have good fries. I'm trying to think where else is good fries in the city. If you have, we're just saying New York because that's where we live. We want to hear from the audience.
I'm trying to think if there's anywhere
Chicago, Milwaukee. I mean, who cares if you're in a small town. I want to hear what your favorite fries are because I will travel for fries.
Yeah. I like a good steak fry, like a frozen steak fry from a diner that's fried real hard.
I don't like it.
You don't? I love it.
Like, but I'll take a crinkle cut.
Oh, I like a crinkle cut.
Yeah.
A crinkle cut. Do you like crinkle a waffle fry? I'm not like super into it. I like it. It's okay.
You know, if you're going to get waffle fries, go to Woogie's Tavern.
What's that?
Woogie's on Greenwich and like Charles or something like that.
I don't know it.
What's it called? It's maybe Perry in Greenwich. It's a little dive bar, and they have They have waffle fries. You get them like dressed with cheese.
Really?
It's fabulous.
Interesting. I like the fries at the Spotted Pig too. They're delicious. They have rosemary.
They are
in them.
Very good, but I really think Pearl Oyster Bar is better.
Yeah, I mean, the lobster roll at Pearl Oyster Bar is mm-hmm. the most mm-hmm. delicious in yes. New York City, I think.
We love it. But listen, and I'll tell you one thing.
What?
Listen, if you're going to, because I have experimented with making a lot of fries in my home fryer, which okay. is very different from a restaurant because of the giant deep fryer. It's yeah. almost hard to kind of mess up a fry if you do it correctly. Fries should be fried twice.
Absolutely.
I don't care who you are.
100%.
I don't care if you have not Googled this by now and you're some bar, brew pub, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't even say the word sports bar. Why in God's name would everybody put sports in a bar together? Just kidding. If you're a sports bar and you're not double cooking your fries, I'm not going to be mean. I'm going to say start now.
No, you have to. A blanch and then a fry.
Blanch and a fry.
You That's can, it.
You know, the British, they do the...
Triple cooked.
Yeah, triple cooked. They might blanch it in water first
yeah.
and then fry it.
That I'm also
lower
with.
Temperature.
The fries we did for the place that we consulted on last year, those were good. Don't say
those were good.
Name of the place, but yeah.
I used some... Listen,
you
to make
came good, up with that recipe. They were good.
To make a good fry, you gotta eat it. You gotta want to eat a good
yeah,
fry.
Yeah, you gotta really know. One thing that I was just thinking of, not like moving away from fries, but just thinking about ketchup, yeah. a little homage to my dad, yeah. who also loved ketchup. My dad was a great cook, but like a lot of great cooks, like the kind of like chef meal you make yourself at the end of the night is kind of disgusting. So
yeah.
he always used to make this thing called chow chow, and it was like ground beef and rice and like peppers that was just sauteed together and covered in ketchup.
Oh my God, that sounds delightfully
it sounds,
college 80s.
I know, but he like loved it. My dad loved ketchup. And my mom loves it. My mom like tries not to eat too many like carbs or like too much fries. But like, so if we'll go out to like have, you know, a cheat lunch or
yeah,
something,
yeah.
she'll get like a tuna melt and fries and like dip one single fry in the most amount of ketchup that could ever fit onto a French fry. Like basically without scooping up with your actual hands and like eat that. And
okay, listen, if you ever go to dinner or a bar with me, order your own order fries because I will because I take the fistfuls like I grab
yeah,
my fingers
do.
And I grab like I like to have 10 of them at a time.
Yeah, you
and
do.
And I like to eat it like a stick. And people that eat one fry at a time, I'm like, I don't know how you can even get the same sensation.
I like to eat it like I'm chewing into a wooden leg.
Oh, God.
I'm like a cannibal.
Preston, the other day we had fries in Henry Public, and he yeah. said, "I just watched you eat the entire order of fries in front of me, and you didn't share." And I'm like, "Well, we'll get more."
Welcome to me.
I was like,
hey, bartender,
barkeep,
another two orders fries yeah. over here,
and your most fabulous martini.
That's funny.
So listen, I thought that ketchup story was really cool.
Thanks.
And I would actually love to see. I would love to go to a ketchup factory.
Oh,
so Heinz, if you're listening, we
Please.
Will go there. We'll set up the
oh
crew,
my God.
And we will talk to Heinz and show the world.
I'm not much of a splosher, but can you imagine doing, you know, splashing when people get like sexually aroused from like sitting in food and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I'm over that part of my life, but I would love to.
Funny you should mention.
Imagine diving into a pool of ketchup
naked.
Yeah, naked, like just swimming around and being so slippery.
Wait, what do they call that again?
Splashing. I watched a documentary about it on Real Sex on HBO.
Oh my God, remember Real Sex had that was
yeah.
a long time ago,
yeah.
right?
Splashing, I never got over it. It was like burned into my brain. I think about it every day.
Really?
No.
Well, until you scratch
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Well, you know, I'm single now and I'm ready to mingle.
So listen,
other
folks,
people.
You got some red organic Heinz ketchup, Zara is your girl.
Yeah, if anyone has a jar of salsa they just want to like pour down my pants, hit me
All
up.
Right.
Just kidding.
And
edit that out.
Hook it over the edge.
And we went there.
No, really. All in all, I would say stick to the Heinz.
Yes.
We love it.
We love it. It's delicious.
And occasionally branch out and you know, try other stuff. And
yeah.
I recommend trying... That's a lot of work to make.
Making
your
it at home.
It is a process. There's a really good. Oh shoot, I can't remember the. There's a blog that I follow, and I'll tell you the name. I always click the links. Of mm-hmm. course, my brain doesn't
yeah.
connect those memories, and I forget, and
of
it's
course.
Rotting from the inside out. but if you go ahead and check my website, I'll show the link. It's wonderful. It's they show you all
how to make
ketchup. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But
it's a lot of work.
Boil a bunch of
you boil potatoes. No, you boil tomatoes, but then you like have to strain them and then boil them and then strain them and then boil them. The thing is with homemade ketchup, that where people go wrong is like the texture is never as good. Like for me, like Heinz.
That's why I want to go to the Heinz factory to see what these I know. Blades look
what
like.
What are they doing there?
And now we have a top secret.
That would be that really cool, wouldn't it?
I went to the Steinway factory. I love factory tours. I'm from Sheboygan. We have lots of factories. And I took the Color Company tour.
Oh, man.
And the Steinway factory tour. So I'm definitely all about the...
Okay. Well, let's go to Pittsburgh and see the steel... What is it? Pittsburgh. The steel city? The iron city?
Pardon me. The city of platinum.
Sorry for all you Pittsburgh fans.
The city of rose gold. Yes, Pittsburgh.
The city of angels.
Pittsburgh, we're renaming you. It's Rose Gold Pittsburgh from now on.
AKA the ketchup city.
Yeah. If you'd like, I'd be your city ambassador, even though I've never, well, I was there. I took that trolley up. It's really cute.
Oh, okay, cool. I heard they have some good restaurants there.
Yeah, my friend Ash is from there. He loves it.
Really? Okay, let's go check it out.
Perfect. Boston, see. Oh, sorry. Pittsburgh, see you soon.
Well, I think that was a fun episode, and I really enjoyed hearing about your ketchup eating packet problem on planes.
Totally. And once the website's up and coming, listen, go ahead and check out all the recipes and all the links I'll have to different restaurants and things that we mentioned in the podcast.
And the recipe for the poor man's Bloody Mary, which is something I always joke about.
Wait.
Ketchup and vodka. I hope this story was inspiring to you guys too out there. If anyone else is having a hard time and worried that life won't get better,
ketchup and vodka
to get you through the day, and then eventually, trust me, life will get better.
Because after all, life's a banquet, edible, spreadable, and pourable, and be fabulous, stay cute,
yeah,
and look, work and eat and lots
eat
of things.
Ketchup.
And eat ketchup.
And put ketchup on everything you eat this week. We love you.
We love you.
Bye.